always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
We feel great. I mean, we really, truly are focused on two things here at the RNC, getting out the vote and protecting the ballot. And we know that we are going to have tens of thousands of volunteers all across the country that are going to help us by knocking on doors, making phone calls, turning out the vote, and then serving as election observers and making sure that we are in the room when people vote and when the votes are being counted. And that's how we're going to have a great win in November.
Yep, indeedy. That's the plan. The problem is the execution. You know, Republicans are often known as the stupid party, Democrats as the insane asylum party, and I think that's an accurate description. But let's hope the Republicans have their game plan ready to roll, because, man, these are the times that try men and women's souls, and we are at a definite crossroads. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk, and your headquarters for America Decides 2024. We will cover all the election news that you need to know between now and November. That includes the April elections. Yes, can you believe next week is April? No fooling. Monday is April the 1st. It really is. I'm not joking with you. And that means Tuesday is election day. Tuesday is April 2nd. We have very important local contests. We had some awesome school board folks on yesterday from Fort Zumwalt.
Francis Howell.
I got all those St. Charles school districts running through my head right now. I was trying to think of all of them. But Fort Zumwalt, I'm sure, has important elections. Francis Howell, we had the Francis Howell folks in yesterday, and they are great Americans. You just heard the commercial there that Adriana Kuhn is running along with her colleagues on our station. Those are important elections. You don't need to do anything except go vote, right? Just swing by the polls. They open at 6 a.m., they close at 7 p.m. Many people ask for resources. I gave you a great one yesterday, the Missouri Precinct Project. You can send them an email, missouriprecinctproject@gmail.com. They'll send you a ton of voter guides. I know that one of our awesome sponsors, West News Magazine, and their sister publication, Mid Rivers News Magazine, they have voter guides that I would trust, because those are common sense, right of center publications. And which in today's terms means fair and balanced. So you can check those out and you can prepare yourself to properly vote. You've got the April elections. You've got the August primary. You've got the November general. And in Missouri, folks have said, I've become famous for saying Missouri's election is decided in August. Largely, that's true when you're talking about trying to decide who the right Republican is. You don't just need any Republican. You need the right Republican in Missouri. And these days, I'm looking for someone who just follows the platform. I'm not looking for any crazy crap. I'm looking for people who just follow the platform, who want to actually cut taxes, reduce regulations, provide parental school choice for kids and parents, because they know what's best for schools, not the communist Marxists who run our taxpayer-funded government schools. I want folks who stop ESG in our banking system. I want folks who know that government's role, number one, above all things else, is to protect our freedoms and liberties. So you have to decide it. And you're like, well, Tim, don't they all do that? No, they don't. All Republicans are not created equal. And as we get closer to that August primary, I'll be giving you the brass tacks on all these candidates. Now, in some races where you have, you know, seven or eight people, like in the Secretary of State's race, you know, or others, maybe you have multiple candidates that could qualify as a good conservative. In the Secretary of State's race, for instance, I think Senator Denny Hoskins, member of the Freedom Caucus, is a great choice. Not going to go through all of them right now, but we'll do that as we get a little closer to August. So one-stop shop for all that and more. Chris is out today and tomorrow. He is with his wonderful wife, Becky, either on the way or already in the Palmetto State. I am super jealous. They're in South Carolina visiting Becky's family for the Easter weekend. This is the beginning. I've been meaning to get to this all show, and like everything else, I always have this giant speaker stack of stuff here and I never get to it. Let me get through a couple things real quick, then I'm going to tell you about the Easter Triduum. My good friend Grover Norquist was in town this week, took him to the Capitol and ferried him all around Jefferson City with Margaret Meir, one of my favorite people at ATR. We also had Paul Teller, who used to work in the White House, and Sal Nuzzo, who works for a consumers defense group, and they work against ESG. It was great to have them in. They loved being at the Capitol. And Grover just sent me a quote from Donald Trump from Valentine's Day of this year. "I will make the Trump tax cuts permanent. You know they expire in a year, and we'll cut your taxes even more than that." Yes, that's great news. You know why, folks? Because the Trump tax cuts put more money back in the pockets of middle class and lower class Americans than any other tax cut or relief before them. It did not help the big boys and girls. It did not help the uber wealthy. It helped the middle class. Look at the Trump economy record. We still, under Joe Biden, have created no net new jobs. The labor participation rate is lower now than it was when Joe Biden took off, when Donald Trump left office, right? The labor participation rate is not back to where it was before COVID, is what I should have said. Before COVID, the labor participation rate was nearing an all-time low. And as far as like good, it's low. It's too low. Let me rephrase that. Labor participation rate was nearing an all-time high. It's now nearing an all-time low under Joe Biden. Other breaking news this afternoon, James Comer, the congressman, invites Joe Biden to testify on the yawning gap between public denials and evidence of influence peddling. I think this phrase right here wraps it up really well. The committee, the congressional committee, has identified no legitimate services to merit such lucrative payments, Congressman Comer wrote. That's the smoking gun right there. How in the world has Joe Biden, a lifetime public servant, amassed a multi-millionaire's fortune? What has he sold? What has he provided? What services have people compensated him for? It's influence peddling, it's graft and grift and corruption. And I think it's a great challenge that they threw out. Let's see. In addition, some other news here. Barack Obama is making calls to Biden's chief of staff amid fears of a Trump 2024 landslide. So even the Obamatons are getting worried about that. Speaker Johnson formally hands Mayorkas the impeachment article. I'm sorry. Speaker Johnson formally hands the Mayorkas impeachment articles over to his colleagues in the Senate. And Joe Biden, because he does everything wrong, rolls back Trump-era health insurance reforms. Because, of course, he did. Because you've got Obamacare ruining things along the way and whistling past the graveyard. Going to have a speaker stump speech here in a minute, but I want to tell you a little bit about the High Holy Days that we have just entered. So today is Maundy Thursday. Tomorrow is called Good Friday. And people who are not as familiar with the Christian faith or do not practice it as much, I know they always find that odd. Why do we call a day that commemorates a man who is also God? Why do we commemorate his death? Well, because we know that's not the end of the story. As Paul Harvey would say, there's the rest of the story. So we call it Good Friday because you can't have Easter Sunday if you don't have Good Friday. And then we have the all-important day of the Easter Vigil. And why do I say that versus Easter Sunday? Well, because Father Joe Kemp, who's my pastor out at Most Sacred Heart in Eureka, along with Associate Pastor Leo Spezia, we're very blessed. We have these two wonderful gentlemen who have been with our parish for a long time. And Father Joe always says, you know, people ask him, you know, when he goes through the liturgical schedule for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he gets to Saturday and he says, you know, people always ask me, does the Saturday night evening Easter Vigil count for Sunday? And he said, the proper question is, does Sunday count for Saturday? He said the proper question, because the Saturday night vigil, even though it's a little long, you know, it can be a couple hours, you're celebrating the birth, you're commemorating the birth of the church. And you're also more importantly acknowledging Jesus Christ triumphing over death and saving us from all of our sins. So that's why the Easter Vigil. Yeah, Sunday, hallelujah. We have everybody in their Easter bonnets and dresses and their seersucker finest, and it's glorious. But that's because of what happens on Friday and Saturday. That's why we get to have Easter Sunday. So the Easter Triduum is the three high holy days. Triduum, three. The Easter Triduum, the three high holy days in the Christian faith, most specifically in Roman Catholicism. The summit of the liturgical year, I'm reading from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Easter Triduum, from the evening of Holy Thursday to the evening of Easter Sunday. Though chronologically 3 days, liturgically they're considered one day unfolding for us the unity of Christ's Paschal mystery. The single celebration of the Triduum, get it? Three in one, right? God, Son, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. So a lot of threes in the Christian Catholic faith. The single celebration of the Triduum, three days in one, marks the end of Lent, which we've been preparing for the last 40 days, and leads to the Mass of the Resurrection of the Lord at the Easter Vigil. So you've got the Mass of the Lord's Supper, which is tonight, really powerful service. And you know, for those of you who are, and don't worry, well, actually, I'm going to do my speaker stump speech on Easter as well. But, you know, you didn't stumble into the religious channel, but you know, it is kind of important because we're starting the Easter season here. So just bear with me for a moment. The Mass of the Lord's Supper is a beautiful service. So for those of you who are, have maybe fallen away from your faith or don't have a faith or, maybe you need to check out a new faith, I would urge you to go to a Mass this evening. It's a beautiful service. It's all about the sacrament. There's a ton of sacraments that are acknowledged and commemorated tonight. You have holy orders. You have Holy Communion. You have absolution, confession, reconciliation, memorialized. So many of the sacraments are tonight. And one of the most important parts is when people from the congregation are brought forward and the priests get literally down on their hands and knees, and they symbolically wash a foot. I don't know if we do 2 feet or not. We do one or two. And that's what Jesus did at the Last Supper. So the greatest among us bows before everyone to in service to them. And that is the commemoration of the sacrament of holy orders. And it's a beautiful service. And I love the way, again, Father Joe does it, because he always has a little story. He's a really good storyteller. He's really into the dramatics and the production of things. And he always has a great story behind each of the people that he's calling up who's feeding me wash. And some of them make you pretty emotional. You got some people who have been through a lot in their lives, whether through sickness or loss, or they've overcome some obstacle, or sometimes we're honoring someone for a great achievement. Anyway, it's really neat service. And then tomorrow is Good Friday, the only day in the liturgical calendar of the Roman Catholic religion where we do not have Mass, because we don't have Christ, right? It's a commemoration of loss. So there's a service, but there's no Mass. There's no like full Mass service. And then Saturday night, when the sun sets, we light the candles, we celebrate the Mass of the Resurrection of the Lord. So there you go. Joey, there's your catechism for Thursday afternoon.
Thank you. I'm seeing the Grammy and the Bear. That's what we call Grandma and Grandpa when I go to Indiana this weekend. So I'm going to tell them the whole story or just play this podcast back for them.
There you go. You can just play me talking about it for them. All right, folks, we've got 525 coming up, and we're going to talk to Mike Ring, CEO of Old Glory Bank. I'm going to give you a speaker stump speech in just a second. Mike Ring, of the CEO of Old Glory Bank. Old Glory Bank is a parallel economy alternative. Isn't that fascinating? What's that all about? Well, you're going to have to just stay right here and find out. Without further ado, I'm going to capstone my discussion of Easter with an unlikely source, an opinion piece from the New York Times.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Issa McCauley wrote this back in 2021. He is a contributing opinion writer to the New York Times and assistant professor of New Testament Studies at Wheaton College. He's the author of the book, Reading While Black, African-American Biblical Interpretation as an Exercise in Hope. So he's an African-American and he's published in the New York Times. I don't want you to think of any stereotypes now. Shame on you. There's a couple little liberal references in here, but he mainly talks about Easter and hope. And so bear with me. I'm going to get through some of this here. Esau McCauley writes, I grew up in the Southern Black church tradition where Easter was the opportunity to don your best outfit. The yellow and red dresses, the dark suits set against the black and brown bodies of my church were a thing to behold. The hats of grandmothers and deacons' wives jostled with one another for attention. The choir had its best music rehearsed, ready to go. Getting to sing the solo on Easter was getting a prime spot at the Apollo. I watched rather than participated in these festivities during most of my youth. I didn't have the money or social standing to attract much attention. One year then, my mother cobbled together enough money to purchase a navy blue three-piece suit and a clip-on tie. I used to have clip-on ties. Without my father around, neither she nor I could tie the real thing. I thought I had joined the elect when I showed up fresh and clean for Sunday service. The feeling didn't last long. during a song, a woman sitting next to me with one of the aforementioned hats got excited. Our tradition called it catching the Holy Ghost. In her ecstatic state, she kicked out, hit me in the leg, and ripped a hole in my brand new pants. That Sunday introduced me to the two Easters that struggle alongside each other. One is linked closely to the celebration of spring and the possibility of new beginnings. It's the show that can be church on Easter. The other deals with the disturbing prospect God is present with us. His power breaks out and unsettles the world. We like to imagine the story of the first Easter as the first of the two, a celebration of possibility. We would be wrong. The four Gospels describe Jesus' female followers going to his tomb on Easter morning only to find it empty. They receive the news that Christ has risen from the dead. Each Gospel at different points comments on the fear that these women felt. Wouldn't you? The Gospel of Mark's account is especially striking to me. The earliest and most reliable manuscripts of Mark conclude with the description of the women as, quote, trembling and bewildered. Mark tells us that they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That the story is known at all makes it clear that Mark believes the women eventually told Jesus' disciples what they had seen. But what do we make of the fact that Mark ends his gospel on the women's fear and silence? Mark's ending points to a truth that often gets lost in the celebration. Easter is actually a frightening prospect. For the women, the only thing more terrifying than a world with Jesus dead was one in which he was alive. We know what to do with grief and despair. We have a place for it. We have rituals that surround it. I know how to look around at the anti-black racism, anti-Asian racism, the struggles of families at the border and feel despair. I know what it's like to watch the body count after a mass shooting only to have the country shrug because, well, here's the liberal bent in this one article. We're addicted to guns and our violence. Okay. I know how to feel when I look to someone in the church for help only to have my faith questioned because I see in biblical texts a version of justice I find compelling. I put it all in the tomb that contains my dead hopes and dreams for what the church and country could be. I'm left only with tears. Hope is much harder to come by. The women did not go to the tomb looking for hope. They were searching for a place to grieve. They wanted to be left alone in despair. The terrifying prospect of Easter is that God called these women to return to the same world that crucified Jesus with a very dangerous gift, hope and the power of God, the unending reservoir of forgiveness and an abundance of love. It would make them seem like fools. Who could believe such a thing? Christians at their best are the fools who dare believe in God's power to call dead things to life. That's the testimony of the black church. It's not that we have good music, we do, or excellent preaching, we do. The testimony of the black church is that in times of deep crisis, we somehow become more than our collective ability. We become a source of hope that did not originate in ourselves. After we take off those suits and sundresses and hats, we return to a world that has issues and problems. To listen to the plans of some after the pandemic, we're returning to a world of parties and rejoicing. This is true. Let us not close all paths to happiness. But we're also returning to a world of hatred, cruelty, division, and a thirst for power that was never quarantined. I can agree with that. This period under pressure has freshly thrown into relief the fissures in the American experiment. As we leave the tombs of quarantine, remember this was written back in 2021, a return to normal would be a disaster unless we recognize we're going back to a world that's in need of healing. For me, the source of that healing is an empty tomb in Jerusalem. The work that Jesus left his followers to do includes showing compassion and forgiveness and contending for a just society. It involves the ever-present offer for all to begin again. The weight of this work fills me with a terrifying fear, especially in light of all those who have done great evil in his name. Who is worthy of such a task? Like the women at the tomb, the scope of it leaves me too often with a stunned silence. And that's the speaker's stump speech for today. You know, this gentleman and I have a lot of agreement. We probably get to the same conclusion a very different way. He probably believes that government has more of a role in these things than I do, but I think we both agree that the church has a very important role to play as well. Our faith, our religions, our belief in the ultimate goodness of man, and the fact that, yeah, isn't it more terrifying that Jesus, after being crucified on the cross, is alive and not dead. And that is the rest of the story. All right, we're going to get to a break now. 5:25 in the PM. Mike Ring, CEO of Old Glory Bank. We're going to talk to Mike Ring, the CEO of Old Glory Bank, about a parallel economy alternative. What is that? Can you participate in it? And what can it do for you, your family, and your business? All those questions will be answered when Joey and I return next on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Now today we are expecting to hear testimonials from potential victims, potentially some character witnesses. Then SBS fate will rest in the hands of the judge. Now remember, he's facing up to 110 years. He was convicted of stealing over $10 billion in funds. That is one of the largest financial frauds ever. The prosecution is looking for 40 to 50 years. The defense, however, seeking just 5 to 6.5. For the judge, the task is going to be balancing retribution with the possibility of rehabilitation. Now the defense, they are arguing there was no harm done to victims, as the bankruptcy process expects to actually return all of those funds. They're also highlighting his neurological issues, which could make prison very difficult. The prosecution, though, they're not buying that no harm argument.
Well, there's an inglorious end to what was at one time a glorious career. Sam Bankman-Fried going down in flames, the young man being sent to being sentenced to a 25-year sentence. We're going to talk to our next guest about some economic matters. May talk a little cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and so on and so forth. Let's get to him right now. He is a new friend of the show, but he was referred by an old friend of the show, referred by our good friend Andrew Krepuschets of Red Balloon. We're going to welcome Mike Ring, CEO of Old Glory Bank. You can look him up online and follow along at home, oldglorybank.com. Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to News Talk STL.
Thank you for having me. Great to talk to you.
So, you know, Mike, let me just start off with a kind of a 35,000 foot question. You know, I'm not going to ask you the specifics of Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX and all that, but what about the subject, Mike, of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin? Is that something that as we get into this concept of a parallel economy alternative of which you all have at Old Glory Bank? Is Bitcoin and crypto something that people should fear, shy away from, or they should investigate and look into more because it could be where we go into the future?
Could I first, like many Americans, express my outrage for such a small sentence?
Yes, please do.
SBF?
Yeah, yeah. Happy to hear your opinion on that.
That is disappointing, considering the chaos that he created with all those people who lost their money, but the chaos he created in what should have been a great exchange to help bring people together in cryptocurrencies. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing how little he received today, and it's disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what about the concept? Yeah, what about the concept of crypto, Bitcoin, all the things we hear around it?
Yeah, I mean, can I also say that we like the word freedom economy more than parallel economy? I think freedom economy is actually above the other economy, so we like to use the word freedom economy. I do think, in fact, the infrastructure at Old Glory Bank, we are set up for at the right time to accept crypto for transactions. We have our own version of PayPal. We call it Old Glory Pay. So in addition to Old Glory Bank being an FDIC-insured bank, one branch in Oklahoma, but because of our great online technology, we have customers in all 50 states. Mm. And we have our own version of PayPal called Old Glory Pay. You can send money to your friends and family. You could buy things with it. And we built from the scratch to accept crypto. And when we were building Old Glory Pay and Old Glory Bank, SBF ruined the industry. And so we have put that on hold. But we do think it will come back around, and we do, and we are a believer that there should be alternative currencies. And so we think at the right time, we'll get regulatory approval and Old Glory Pay. You'll be able to go and buy things with crypto through Old Glory Pay at the right time.
Oh, that's fantastic. Folks, I'm looking at Old Glory Bank's website right now, oldglorybank.com, the pro America online bank, the bank for hardworking, freedom-loving Americans. I see here, Mike, that you have some pretty notable co-founders, the famous country music superstar John Rich, Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, Governor Mary Fallon, former governor of Oklahoma. You know, those are some pretty heavy hitters. That gets people's attention. But, Mike, ultimately, people want to know why should they, as individuals, why should they right now jump on oldglorybank.com and check you all out?
We like to say, and from the day we put this together with our great co-founders, we have preached to our great team, people will come for the brand. We believe people want a bank at a bank that values their values, and we stand with you no matter where you stand. We've got two simple rules at Old Glory Bank. Rule number one is we'll never cancel you for what you believe. And rule number two is, when in doubt, see rule number one. So come because we have a bank that values your values, but stay for our products and services. You know, everyone in the sound of my voice, my email is mikering@oldglorybank.com. If you can find any bank that has a better consumer interface, your ability to bank online, let me know, because we have the best and we've only been at this for a year, both for consumer and business. So come because you want to be at a bank that cares about you and won't cancel you for what you believe, but you don't have to sacrifice anything. We have the best products and features. Something as simple as Old Glory Cash In. Very few, if any, banks have this. You can walk into one of 88,000 locations and deposit cash. So everything you can do online with your phone, deposit checks, pay your bills, send checks, you can now easily walk into one of 88,000 locations, places like Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Kroger's, and deposit cash. So come for the brand because we believe what you believe, but stay for our products and services. There is no friction. There is no giving up anything. The bank at Old Glory Bank, and that's always been our motto.
Mike, I see something here that really caught my attention, and folks of my generation and definitely older, I'm in my early 50s, are concerned about this. I worry that our younger generations are not as concerned as much as they should be. One of the things you have on your website at oldglorybank.com is privacy above all else. Why is that such an important key element to put right on the front page of your first page of your website?
Exactly right. There's no ESG. There's no DEI at Old Glory Bank. There's no social credit score. Three simple letters, Tim. PSL, privacy, security, liberty. Now, we've been preaching this for a couple years, and we feel like the rest of the world has finally caught up to us, especially thanks to Jim Jordan. That March 6th committee report he put out about how FinCEN, the FBI, and employees at the major banks got together and surveilled consumers. Now, listen, if you're a bank and you have a customer that's doing bad things, we have a duty to report that, and we do. We don't let bad people bank at Old Glory Bank. But to think that these big banks were actually surveilling and providing information to the government of people not doing bad things is what is really scary. And if you have not read that report, you know, your audience, at least read the last 20 pages of it. It's only 56 pages. It is disturbing, the emails you see that went on, and no one knew about it until now.
Yeah, Mike, I'm a former state legislator, and I now work in a lot of public policy and political. I work on a lot of public policy and political projects in addition to the radio show here. So I'm becoming more aware and educated on ESG. But I know for a lot of people, that's an acronym that's still pretty confusing. Mike, could you explain to our audience, how insidious is ESG? What's it stand for? And why is it so entrenched in our current banking system versus what Old Glory Bank does?
Oh, that's a great question. You're right. We throw it out there and we forget it's really a weird term. So it stands for environmental, social, and governance. Now, the third part, governance, should actually be good, but we'll hold that for last because they've made it bad. So what the movement was to have folks stop talking about owners and stockholders and instead start talking about stakeholders. Now, what is a stakeholder? I don't know. But, you know, the people who own a big company are their stockholders, and the people who govern it are the board. But now there's this concept of stakeholders, and stakeholders are the environment. So we've got to make sure our companies, so the left says, care more about the environment than putting affordable food and fuel in our families' homes. Second thing is social. That's your DEI, your diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is the concept where companies have to put diversity, equity, inclusion ahead of merit. Now, who wants to fly in an airplane? Who wants to go into a hospital where they put social engineering ahead of merit?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yikes.
And who wants to bank at a bank where we're picking and choosing winners based on DEI as opposed to merit? And then the last thing, governance, you know, everyone wants great governance at a company. In fact, if if you know, Sam Bankman-Fried had better governance at his company, it wouldn't have happened. But what happened instead is they don't say governance in the traditional sense, like we want strong governance and we want strong controls. They say, oh no, you need a certain number of women, you need a certain number of minorities, et cetera, on your board. That's the governance they talk about. So that's the ESG that has been, I believe, gutting companies. And I think it actually happens from the middle up. A lot of great strategy happens from the top down. The leaders pick it. But this has been happening from the middle up. These young folks coming into the workforce are putting ESG. And if you read a lot of these, like from the Twitter files to the Jim Jordan, it wasn't the top of the companies. It's these, and even at Disney, it's these middle managers who have been making these mistakes and letting these young folks push ESG instead of merits and what's best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. We are speaking to Mike Ring, CEO of Old Glory Bank, the freedom alternative to your traditional banking. Mike, before I let you go, would you please take a minute to go through, I'm looking at the website, oldglorybank.com. You offer everything a traditional bank does and so much more, don't you? Why don't you give the folks, once again, all the services and options that they have with Old Glory Bank?
Thank you for that opportunity, Tim. So, yes, everything you get at your normal walk-in bank, you can now get online. Your bank is in your pocket, from debit cards to credit cards. We've got a great home loans program. Everything is fast, and you talk to just one person. So if you're looking for a home loan, we are as competitive with everyone, but do business with a bank that believes what you believe in. We have Old Glory Cash In that most banks don't have. Plus, we have Old Glory Pay, so you can truly send money to your friends and family. Don't use PayPal, Venmo, and Zelle. Those people don't love you. We love you. And so use Old Glory Pay. Open up an account and start using our products, please. I promise you, you will love the service. And you can do it slow. It's not like changing your cell phone. You don't have to go all at once. You can try before you buy. Open up an account, start using it. And then if we earn your business, which I believe we will, you'll move all of your business to Old Glory Bank, is my hope.
It looks fantastic. It looks really easy to use, and it's all protected from the woke-autocracy. OldGloryBank.com. Mike Ring, CEO of Old Glory Bank, our guest this afternoon. Mike, thanks so much for joining us, and hope to have you back on again soon sometime.
I would love to, Tim. Thank you, and great show. I really appreciate what you do.
Yeah, thank you as well. All right, there we have it. 5:43 in the Heartland. Joey? That was one of the faster shows ever, I'm telling you. We just have so much fun in the sun.
Yeah, I can't believe it's almost over.
Yeah, we're going to come back with one more segment. You know what? We can take your phone calls if you'd like to place them. I know we're not often able to do that. 314-912-1019. Happy to talk to you about what your Easter plans might be for the weekend, or what you might be doing, in the days ahead. We've got Cardinal baseball, I know, back in action. I think the home opener was not today, but the Major League Baseball opened its season today, right, Joey? So there's a ton of games going on and such.
They had a very public meltdown in L.A. today, so we'll let's see if they can pick it up tomorrow, or whenever the next game is.
I think one of our listeners, Amy, said something along the lines of typical Cardinals opening day disaster. Mm-hmm. So hopefully not a harbinger of things to come. Hopefully just something, you know, kind of like rain on your wedding day, right? Rain on your wedding day, I've heard, is for whatever reason supposed to be good luck. So maybe losing the home opener is good for the rest of the season. I don't know.
We'll blame Newsom for this.
Yes, we shall. We'll come on back and we'll talk to all you all and make sure you know everything you need to know before we turn it over to Larry Connors. I've got Larry's topics du jour of the day as well. So you're going to want to stand by for all of that and more when the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show rolls on here at 101.9/94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I'm proud to announce that we are taking the next step forward in our ongoing efforts to make our subways even safer and ensure New Yorkers feel safer in the transit system. Today, in accordance with the POST Act, for the use of technology by the NYPD, we'll be publishing the impact and use policy for electromagnetic weapons detection systems here in New York City. This kicks off the 90-day waiting period before this type of technology can be tested and used in our city to help keep New Yorkers safe.
Well, that sounds very futuristic, Joey. What are they going to do? Are they going to put electromagnetic weapon detection systems?
I think that's just a body scanner, like a metal detector where
they don't have to actually stop you or take anything out of your pocket. You just walk right through. I've seen these at Disney World, and I think Busch Stadium has it too, maybe, where you just walk through and it's all good.
Guess where there's one now?
Where's one?
The Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you said that. So up until very recently, up until last week, the Jefferson City, the Missouri Capitol, had a standard magnetometer, mm-hmm. like at the airport with the, you know, the sides and then the little bar across the top, right? And the conveyor belt, right? Just like the airport. And you'd walk through that. Well, this week we walked in and that was gone. And there was just these two, they looked like almost like mini surfboards. There was just these two pieces of like plexiglass, on each side, mm-hmm. about as high as your shoulders, right? And there was no top on it. And so you just walked through those, kind of like at a, like a library or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you just walk through. So you, like you said, you don't stop. It's kind of like with states that have easy pass or tolling, you know, where yes. you slow down to 50 miles an hour or something, but you don't stop, you know, mm-hmm. and just zip right through. And so I guess these things are tuned to the point where they detect the level of metal or device or dangerous possible things on you. And I guess if it doesn't beep at a certain level, you're okay. Yeah, and so you just walk, everybody just keeps walking. You just keep walking, you know?
And I imagine the floor drops out if you do have a gun.
Yes.
Just like Russian yes. roulette or something. Boom, you're in the floor.
That would gotcha. That would be very clever.
You are the weakest link.
That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. They just put a trap door there in you and then you disappear. Hey, before I forget, I do believe, let's see here. I think, yes, Larry Connors did text me his topics du jour for the afternoon. Larry, of course, follows us every day, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., and here's what he has on tap for this afternoon. Number one, Larry has a question that he hasn't heard asked about the Baltimore Bridge tragedy. Ooh, now that's a good tease right there, Joey.
I mean, that guy's been on top of the arch for Channel 4 when he was doing a report.
He may be there right now.
So he knows about structural engineering, I'm sure.
Of course he does. He's probably got a degree in that. So Larry's got a question you're going to want to hear about the Baltimore Bridge tragedy you haven't heard asked. Number two, oh, Joyless Reed. Joy Reed finds a way to play the race card in the bridge tragedy. You've got to be, how is that possible? So the barge is racist or the bridge? I don't know. I'm so confused. Larry will explain it all. And then number three, NBC attacks Bible study for kids. Well, because of course they did. You know, I saw something that really threw me for a loop, and I wonder if I still have it up here on my computer. It was a story about The View, where one of The View's co-hosts was actually, I don't know if praise is the right word, she was complimenting Donald Trump. She was talking about, she was on some show, I forget who it was, I just saw this in passing. Anyway, let me try to remember what it was. So it was one of the ladies on The View, and she was on like a different show on MSNBC or CNN or something, and I don't know if it was, I think they have a token conservative on there, but I'm not sure. So I'm not sure if it was her or one of the others. But she basically said, you know, about the New York City tragedy. We talked about the opening of the show at the slaying of that police officer. Just a horrendous, horrendous situation. 31 years old. Officer Diller. We should say his name over and over again. Leave behind a wife and a very young child, son. She said something like, you know, I got to give the president credit for going to New York today and making the appearances he did and saying the things he did, because President Trump knows how to tap into the conscience and the emotions of the American people. And she said it like in a positive way, like the guy has empathy. And see, that's what I've been trying to explain to people over the last, oh my goodness, Donald Trump came down the escalator and announced he was running for president, what, back in 2015? So for the past 9 years, people are like, oh, Trump. The ones who can't stand him, the never Trumpers, the haters on the left or the right. You know, why do you like, well, because up until Donald Trump, well, I shouldn't say this. There was another guy who was like that. He had a totally different personality. It was Ronald Reagan. So usually Republicans, we have a habit of burying you in logic and facts and stats and analysis. And we're just like, well, it just makes sense. Don't you understand? And the Democrats, They lie, cheat, and steal, but they make you feel good, right? It's all about the feels. Who doesn't like more stuff and more things? And we're going to protect you, and it's going to be great. So it's all about the feels, right? Well, the Republicans had to figure out a way to do that. But like, how do you just appeal to emotion without facts? Well, you have empathy, right? You understand somebody's situation, and then you tell them something as to how you're going to get them there. That's what Donald Trump tapped into for the common man and woman. That's what he did. Hey, before we get out of here, Joey, there's a bunch of new movies that have come out or are coming out this weekend. And I want to talk to you tomorrow about Godzilla X Kong, The Rise of the Empire, or whatever that is. We're also going to talk about Roadhouse. Now, is that in the theaters or is that streaming?
That's streaming on Amazon Prime.
Okay. And any other things that we're going to tease out that folks need to tune in tomorrow? What else should we talk about movie-wise?
We had a lot of discussion about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in the chat today.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, so maybe you have to touch on that too.
We'll talk about that as well. Hey, hi to everybody in the Facebook chat. Thank you so much, Scotty and Amy. And we got some others in there as well. Producer Joey's, of course, in there. And Lisa and Linda. Thank you for everybody listening to us, watching us throughout the week. We'll be back tomorrow for a Good Friday show of the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. 101.9 941 News Talk STL. Larry Connors USA is next.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.